Maria, you just got back from India? When? Was it good? Was it good?
Yeah,
pretty good. Are you going to play something on the piano while
we do that? Can you hear you live in Toronto,
that one? I try to... Wow, I'm so... my left hand is so used to pumping. I think it takes me a little while to get used to using it.
That's got string sound as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, turn it on. The big button's on the right-hand side. Just, you can, maybe you could sing Radha Krishna Panamora while this is going on. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's really... I think you just push it back. I've got to get some music. This is Maha? See, it's got, yeah, it's over there. Look over there to the right, strings. To the right, see it? Keep going to the right, it's got strings and...
strings choir.
That's it. Okay, there you go, go ahead.
That's not a baby, that's a doll.
It's a baby doll. Okay, I thought you were going... Oh, this is a little cool, isn't it? Okay, look. Goodbye, Beth. Anyway, listen, I'm used to this. I've done this at least 100 times. Because no one's chanting Hare Krishna. I don't know. Well, it's getting in there slowly.
Thank you.
that?
Was that the choir?
Playing the strings, I think.
Okay, what were we going to talk about?
I just had a suggestion about the Dharma, about the Dharma you're writing.
What's the suggestion?
That you just tell us about it if you can. If it's not giving away too much.
I thought I'd already. Well, I spoke about it during Parikrama. I spoke about it at the. I guess. I thought I spoke about it on a podcast. I must have mentioned it a couple of times. What should I say about it?
I personally like to know what your reason for doing it is, Guruji. Not that you have to have a reason, but you know what? Why actually have you chosen this particular? You know, each time you write a book, you're doing it for a purpose. You know, like the Srila Bhakti Chintamani was like a great sort of like support mechanism that sort of was like a big uncle's warm arm around ISKCON sort of thing like that. That's what I got from it. It was like a purpose for it, was to sort of clarify things and to steady things up. So whether that's what you wrote for or not, so I was just wondering if what the reason for this particular one, this particular book that's coming is. But, you know, if people have got more pressing questions, please. I'm just...
You
got
headphones on?
Okay.
Oh, no, I thought you were in headphones.
No, it's glass.
No, because you had the top part.
Oh, no, no.
It was meant, or it is meant particularly for glorification of Nivajadam. And it was this year's the 15th. Last year was, the year before last year was the 10th year of the installation. This year is the 15th year that we acquired the property. So, we were going to do different things 2 years ago, but Budapest Temple was still going on, so it just didn't really quite work. And now we had some plans. Well, we built one. We built this addition to the deity department, and that was nice. Now the other idea is to actually renovate the entire deity department as well as the deity room. But that's project sort of like expanded, like things tend to expand into rebuilding the temple, taking the top off, the roof off, and just making a flat roof and making it look like a proper Rajasthani temple, arches, pillars and everything, and covering the whole courtyard with the dome and glass, and so it's all covered. Right now we're trying to figure out how much that's going to cost. And then we'll multiply by two and we'll get a good idea. So this was meant to be sort of one part of the project of sort of glorifying the Dham, and to explain how the Dham actually manifests by the desire of devotees and by the presence of the deities. And but because the time scale keeps moving, so there's no real rush. Originally the book was going to be a smaller book, and now because there's no particular rush to finish, so it's just a little longer, a little length here. Was I speaking so quiet? Oh, okay. There are many, many places, particularly places like the manor, Nivajadam, places where it's a little more obvious that rather than, for instance, in a very confined space like London, Londonishwar's temple, where actually the Dham manifests and manifests all places of Krishna's pastimes also are all present. However, devotees often just sort of treat it like, well, they consider it in general, this is Vrindavan, but it sort of stops there. But that it's not, Vrindavan means, it means everything's there. It means Jamuna River and Govardhan Hill and all the places of Krishna's pastimes and everything that's associated with that, so those are also there. And the more devotees are conscious and aware of that, then while living in those places, they become more Krishna conscious, because naturally inclined to remember those places of past times. And it places which have that type of environment then naturally lend themselves to that type of remembrance and meditation. And development. Like Srila Prabhupada wanted New Vrindavan to have 7 temples on it, 1 on every hill, and he wanted so many different holy places to be manifest or glorified by different commemorative, well, you know, in Vrindavan they build temples everywhere and install deities. We can't do that, but we can have little memorials, little sort of temples that mark certain important holy places. Okay, well, let's see if anyone's got any other questions besides just that. Particularly the organizers of this event, they must have something in mind.
I remember we had 2 questions. One is connected with Vijayadeva. I remember when we bought land for Vrajadam, it was just the land. And then you said how these holy dams manifest actually according to desires of devotees. So if you can tell us something more about that. And the second question is that for a darshani, you give renunciation to some of Puri Maharaj, ex-Puri Maharaj disciples. And Niranjana Swami also gave a little talk and he said that somebody is spiritually weak, he can't go back home to Godhead. So if you can say something about that, what does it mean, spiritually weak and you can't go back?
Is that some new revelation? I'm not going. come back to God, it isn't a question of weak or strong. It means one is actually very strong or qualified. It's not something that just happens by default. You know, like in nowadays in computer programs, you always have the default setting. It just, you know, it just flops there automatically. There's no default setting for going back to Godhead. It's something that's achieved by effort and determination and by spiritual strength. Spiritual strength that comes from chanting Hare Krishna, by regularly hearing, and by increasing one's strength and determination for Krishna consciousness. Spiritual strength, real spiritual strength means that one is attached, one becomes attached to Krishna. Because that's where real spiritual strength comes from. It isn't really quite spiritual until then. It's sort of spiritualized strength. The spiritual strength means to love Krishna. And if something stands in the way of one's loving Krishna, then one should get rid of whatever it is. If it means one's connection with the Parampara becomes confused or becomes shrouded or obstructed, then it should get it out of the way or anything. Ultimately, that's our business. Whatever stands in the way of are the reason why we're all here and why we all came here initially. That we should correct or remove, and anything that helps us to achieve that, then we should take advantage of that. We should use that. And there are many things that are there are many things available to help us advance in Krishna consciousness, and there are also many things which are there to hinder. So the main thing for helping advance in Krishna consciousness is good association, and the main thing that hinders us is bad association. So Guru Ravaliptasya Kaya Karma Janata, if your guru becomes an obstruction to advancing in Krishna consciousness, then reject them. And if Vaishnava is favorable for advancing in Krishna consciousness, then we accept them. And particularly we here who want to imbibe the spiritual potency that comes generally by through hearing, comes through the process of shabda, transcendental sound vibration, and also is sort of experienced by being in the physical presence of a Vaishnava who's Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses phrase, binds Krishna as his heart, or the internal potency becomes manifest in his heart. So it's like, it's like if you know, you're not supposed to live or don't buy a house under one of these power lines, because the voltage is so high that it'll disturb the, I don't know, so many whatever electrical things going on in your body, and it'll cause all kinds of problems. So because it's high voltage, so same thing, voltage, high voltage, naturally is present within a devotee's heart. That also makes the current of bhakti in our own flow. There are many things, but that's the main thing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always says, asat sangai vaishnavachar. This is the essence, vaishnav achar. Achar, yadgara acharati shrishtas. The essence of Vaishnava behavior, asat sangatya. Whatever is asat, nasati vidyati vabo mahavabo vidyati. So whatever is asat, whatever is unreal, whatever is unfavorable, then tyag. And one should renounce that. Sa sannyasi, cha yogi cha, cha niragi, cha kriya. That's called being a sannyasi. It doesn't matter whether one's male or female or grihastha or brahmachari, but anyone who renounces anything that's asat, a vaishnav achar, then this is the achar of a vaishnav. And that what is a vaishnav is. Otherwise, constantly, the other version is one isn't a vaishnav. If you don't have the achar of a vaishnav, then you're not a vaishnav. You may be dressed as a vaishnav. Then vaishnav praya. Then it's like almost a vaishnav. Looks like it, but just doesn't have the proper conduct. And everything is recognized by conduct. A vaishnavachara. So that's what the essence of Krishna consciousness is, what Srimad Bhagavatam emphasizes. You should always look for good association. That association that increases our faith, our determination, increases our love for Krishna, then we're spiritually strong. And asat, if one associates with asat, then one will become spiritually weak. What was the question of going back to Godhead? And the thing is, going to hell. Because of Kali Yuga, that's the influence of this age.
Who's wondering if someone feels bad about deviating from Krishna consciousness? Is a guiltiness there for doing the wrong thing? And there is pain, isn't that like kind of atonement?
No, but our business isn't atonement. We're not interested in atonement, we're interested in doing the right thing. So if someone's done the wrong thing, anyone can do the wrong thing, but when you recognize what the wrong thing is, then you do the right thing. So I atone, but I keep doing the wrong thing. That's not our business. So that's how the whole idea of the fifth canto and how the fifth canto then goes into the sixth canto is, Shukadeva Goswami starts talking about atonement, but then Maharaj Pariksit doesn't buy it. She says, that's not what you've taught me up to now, and devotional service is not part of atonement. And then Shukadeva Goswami explains, yes, you're right, and he starts talking about ajana, actually. No matter how sinful one is, if one simply just chants the holy name of the Lord, then in other words, he does the right thing. Is he sick or is he thirsty? He's tired. It's because you didn't give him any whipping cream.
From the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says that if one is not, one is in the mode of passion, ignorance, goodness, he receives certain results. And you also often mention that, like in Wales, one has to be 100% Krishna conscious. Could you please explain a little more about that?
Well,
our business is always to do our best, and then we just and then other great personalities like Srila Prabhupada, on the basis that we do 100% our best, what particular result we achieve, that we just sort of leave up to them. One should try one's best. One should put in 100% effort, and then if despite not putting in 100% effort, one achieves only a certain measure of success, then it may be up to such people as Srila Prabhupada, they may be willing to make concession. But if we start off thinking, I don't have to try 100%, I only have to try 80%, then that's not the mentality, that's not what Prabhupada was talking about. Prabhupada was talking about that everyone really tries their best. And then we see what that means. Blessings of personalities like Srila Prabhupada, Yogakshema Vahamiyam, can cover. But blessings are gotten because someone has real sincere desire, not partial desire.